I'm going to talk about a topic that not my style. And I'm going to tell you the parts of that topic which I'm not going to talk about. Okay? Which would have been my style. Right? The parts I wanted to talk about: listening to non-Jewish music. One day you guys are going to have to be mechazek other people that listen to this stuff. Of course, there's nobody in this room that it's nageya.
It's non-Jewish
music.
What's that? Non-Jewish?
It's
They also like
But I gotta tell you first of all what I'm not going to talk about. The parts I'm not going to talk about are on this paper. That's the stuff that in the past I've spoken about, probably over here and other places, which is Nivel Peh. I'm not going to talk about that because I have my reasons why not. I just want to tell you that the Teich, the Pirish of Nivel Peh, this is what I'm not talking about, but the Pirish of Nivel Peh, the definition of Nivel Peh is not what we think, you know, various four-letter words. And Nivel Peh, it says Mefurish in Halacha, that's what it says, is any, I'll just read you from the Rabbeinu Yoina. He writes that any, no, it's already from, straight from the Paiskim, they say Nivel Peh is any reference to Maisim or various body parts or Tsuras, any of these things are Nichlol in Nivel Peh. That's not, it doesn't, Nivel Peh doesn't just refer to the actual four-letter words that are inappropriate to say or even to refer to, but it's actual description and whatnot, and what they call love, we call kares, right? So that's Nivel Peh. That's Nivel Peh. What's the problem if I talk Nivel Peh? So I told you this I'm not going to talk about. Medaber dvarim shebein ish le'ishtoi, bein beremes, bein b'shirei nachrim. This is brought in the Pele Yoyetz. If he talks about things, bein ish li ishtai, right, now that you have to say bein ish li ish over there in their world, right? But,
Amen.
Okay. Just have one more sip. It's been a long night. Okay. So, Amadaber b'dvarim shebein ish li ishtai, bein b'piv, bein b'remes, whether it's in a remes, bein b'shirei nachrin, or in songs. So the Pele Yoyetz brings down, miyad menadim oisei b'shamayim. They put him into cherim, in shamayim, for arboyim yoyim, arboyim malachim. 40 malachim come, shehein menadim l'kol maitzei m'piv divrei nivlis peh. Okay, so I decided, I told you, I'm not talking about this, right? But I decided to look up the Zayar that the Pele Yoyetz brings, and it says like this: Loshin Ervis Dover. And it says over here, you might think you're listening to me and I'm talking about saying the Ervis Dover, so you'll say, I'll listen to the music and I will not say the words, I'll just listen to the music. So the Gemara says in Ksuvis, well, the truth is, I mean, you all know it's I'll just read you straight from the Paiskim because I don't want to talk about this. Kol Dvar Nivel V'Tzad Erva Leishama Picha Kegoyin lahazkir zayna, I call devar nevala, the afashoymin b'shoyskin, even those that listen and are quiet, the nenim b'shmi asa and enjoy it, hareza nivel peh, and what's an afgamin if it's nivel peh? The shlub brings down, it's called shemeya ka'ina, and the Gemara in Shabbos says that a person that is menabel piv, if he is menabel, he says these words again. What's bein ish li ishtai? Mamikim like Gehenim. They throw him into the depths of Gehenim. The Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, "Amar v'nachle b'yitzchak afa shemeya v'shoisik." And so too, the guy who just listens to the music, even him also. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about this. Right? I just want to read you what the Zohar says. The Zohar says like this. The Zohar says that what happens when a person listens to this Nivel Peh. So it says, or talks Nivel Peh. Miyad menadin oisoi b'shamayim. They put him into cherim and shamayim. Behechel noigam. This is a translation of the Zohar. Arbayim melachim, 40 melachim. Shehim menadim l'kol moitzei mipiv. Every single word that comes out, they menadim him cherim. V'kei menadim v'arbayim yoyim ain't filasei nishmas. tefillah is not listened to for 40 days. I was once giving this shiur. I'm not sure if it was in this room. And somebody said, so that means that they won't listen to my tefillah for 40 billion years. But Sarah Cruz in Machrizim, every single day, 10 cruzim. What's a cruise? Like, you know, loudspeakers or... What? Boats. Sorry? What's
the
cars. The cars. Machrizim b'kol yoyim in the Machanes Kedoshim that he's Zoru Miploini. People, Malachim are up there saying, stay away from him. He has the oven of kach and kach until he's shoved b'tshuva. Avada, once you do tshuva, it's gone. Tshuva means he doesn't listen to this garbage anymore. This is what I'm not going to talk about. And I really will put it away. Have my issues why I can't not just mention what I won't talk about. But I want to tell you what I am going to talk about, which is not my style. Not my style at all. First, I'm going to tell you an interesting fact about your neshamas. Then afterward, I'm going to tell you history, which, you know, you guys, you're like yeshiva bachrim, you grew up in very sheltered environments, and you might not know some of the things I'm talking about. The guys from Lakewood, I might ask to leave. I feel bad. But I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and this is not my style, right? And, you know, I'm even going to sit, because, you know, I'm not afraid, right? I want to first tell you like this. If I was standing in this room, it's not my style, you should just realize that. You know that already, right? If I was standing in this room, and I was holding a knife, okay? And I was walking like this. Excuse me. I was walking like this. And I was walking with a knife, and I looked, there's a knife in my hand, right? So it would look very serious, and it would look like he's about to go and kill somebody. Right? If I was walking around with a knife like this, you would think I was about to go and kill somebody. Right? If the music in the background, when I was walking like this, was like, if it was some type of like, you know, yeah, right? If it was some type of like happy ditty, yeah, pardon my French, right? It was some happy music in the background. So even if I was walking like this with a knife, right? I was walking like this, and even if I looked serious, but if the music in the background was something funny, right? Anybody have a funny music? I don't know from these things so much, right? We had like some funny music in the background. So then everyone would realize, no, he's not really going to kill somebody. Okay? Masha Enke, let's say I was walking like this with a knife and I was smiling. And the music was da da. I don't know the music. But the music was something a little bit more eerie. So then everyone would be able right away to translate that action and say, wait a minute, he's coming to kill somebody. And when we would be watching this play, right? When we'd be watching this musical, so then everyone would know that he's about to kill somebody and we would be scared. In our neshama, something would start being touched, that we would start to feel a little bit of pachad. He's about to kill somebody. We don't know what's about to happen, but it's right. Mashenkin, if he was smiling, it wouldn't help if the music in the background was serious. If he was unhappy looking, like angry looking, but the music in the background was jovial, so that would change. Music goes into your neshama. Music is the window of your neshama, it says in the Zohar. It's the window of your neshama. If you ever want to know what does a person's neshama look like, and again, you have to remember, I talk on the level of what's emes. Where to put ourselves in this, that you have to deal with after. But you have to learn in life to be able to listen to shmuz from you. You have great rebbeim and great people that come to talk to you. You have to learn to listen, hear what's emes, and then deal with it afterward. But not to put on a defense mechanism and say, I can't listen to this because he's saying something I don't want to hear. Listen first on the level of emes, and then deal with it afterward. You know, don't push it away. But if you want to look at what is the neshama of a person, go and look at his playlist. That's what the Zohar is saying. Go look at the playlist of a person, and that's the neshama of the person. Now, I want to explain this. Let me explain. But again, you have to be able to listen in life on a level which is not necessarily where you're holding, so that you should be able to hear what's emes and then deal with it. You know, I'll give you an example. I spoke in a place the other day. I saw that they were immature. I was speaking about ball, Right? You know, we're not in the door anymore that the Rebbeim are talking about like Eitzov's basketball court. Rabbi Rubin, you still remember this? Or it's even your door, maybe not, right? We're not in the door anymore that they talk about Eitzov's basketball court and playing ball. We, the Rebbeim of Nidal, go play. Please go play. Middle first Seder, go. Go, right? Halavai, you should play, right? We, Halavai, we're in a different war with the world, right? And maybe in that place where I spoke, I should have been mocked him that I was using what I was saying over there as a mashal. And I was explaining that the Greek, the Yavan, they took something which had zero value. We all agree, again, that's take this not in your own lives, take in the concept a minute. We all agree that a ball is something that has no value. As a matter of fact, the Paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch has a Shaila, if a ball is muksa, the Sfardim hold the ball is muksa, because they took something that has no inherent value to it, and they gave a chashivas of what? That they could throw it around and whatever. The day before basketball was created, if Michael Jordan would have taken Chvesis basketball and threw it through a toilet bowl or something, nobody would have been impressed with him. The day before it was invented. The day it was invented, so then it became impressive already. So we all agree that they took something that for thousands of years had no chashivas, and they made it chashiv. And I was explaining over there that that's what they do to, that they take something that is chashiv, Torah, which has a value to it, an inherent value, and they show that it's not chashiv. And they were listening in a plane of like, what? What's he talking about? Like, ball, what's wrong with ball? You're a 2-year-old. You are a 2-year-old, right? You're 2-year-old, right? Listen, forget if you're going to yes play ball or not play ball. But you can listen to what I said. You can hear that we all agree. I agree. You agree. I enjoy playing ball like the rest of you know me. I like playing, you know, like football and whatever. You know me. I'm a cool guy, my boy side. You know, you don't think I know how to play with shuffleboard and everything. I know. I know these things, right? But you're missing my point, right? Don't be a baby. Don't be a little baby. Listen to my point. My point is that we have to, at least, as long as we understand where it's coming from, so then what to do with it in our own life. We'll deal with it, whoever we deal with it, right? At least we'll have a value system which is correct. Okay. With that Akdama, let me give you a little bit of, because somebody here might be saying, oh, I listen to this stuff. So he's telling me that my neshama looks like my playlist, and my playlist doesn't look very very halik. So my neshama's not halik, right? So, you know, you have to listen. You have to know what's emes in the value system. And then let's go back. Let's go back a little bit here. All right? Let me give you a little bit of a historical background to what is music. Music is definitely something that changed culture. Right? Let me explain. The person that for sure, again, I'm probably exposing your very shummer minds to things that you might not know or didn't know. I'm sure that you're all very, very sheltered. But let me explain to you some of the things that you might not have a deeper understanding in. The person that changed the face of this earth was Elvis Presley. Let me explain. Elvis Presley changed the face of this earth. There's no shaila in my mind that he was a Shliach. I mean, this is probably the first person in the history of the world that ever gave him this category of status. But he was definitely a Shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, so was Paro, relax, right? But he was definitely a Shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change culture. Do you know that in the 20s, they started to broadcast multimedia over the airwaves? That was the first broadcasting of over the airwaves. And the president then, I think it was Hoover, I think, he got up and he made a press conference that now they have to make, like a very serious press conference, they have to make now a department to make sure that the press, you know, the media, the airwaves are filtered, right? Are washed, are shomer, you know? They have to make a shomerim on the airwaves because now the stuff is going all over the airwaves and it can go into our youth. And they can hear things, you know. Now he had tremendous foresight. He had tremendous chachma. The Gemara says chachma b'goyim tamid. He had a chachma to understand that when you have this level of spreading, you have to worry. This is a guy. Yes. And sorry,
the FCC.
The FCC. Thank you. The FCC. The FCC was made then. Yeah, the FCC was made then by Hoover. I think it was in 1908. Far back, right? You know, this is a long, long time ago. And the world, until that point, was clearly, you know, you guys don't know these things. There was a lady named Lucy. She was married to Ricardo, right? Yeah. Oh my goodness, this poor Laker guy, I'm sorry. Yeah. But there was a lady named Lucy. She was married to Ricardo. This was Baruch in the 50s. What?
Ricky.
Ah, thank you. Ricky. He was married to Ricardo. Lucy was married. She was married in real life to him. She was married in real life to this fellow, right? She got up on national TV, right? I you know, ich hab doch mein lieb Lucy, you know, I really love her, and whatever, right? That was the name of this program. And she got up in public TV, and she told her husband on TV that TV is that thing that, you know what TV is, right? It's a thing that looks like the microwave, yeah. That thing over there, right? The chazering mashir. She got up on live TV, and she said to her husband, who really was her husband, she told him that she's expecting. I think it was part of the program. She said she was expecting, right? Okay. There was an outcry. The next day, I don't know if Mormons have musagim of hafganot and whatever, but there were hafganas. Right? There were thousands and thousands of letters and complaints written in. They had to make a public denouncement of what was said. How could a person talk like that? Talk about expecting something. Bein ish li ishtai. We don't even understand. Like, what's the problem? Us who are Jews, are Yidden, who are Torah, the musagim that have changed, but we haven't gotten to where I want to get yet. That was the world that was. You know, when the world was Father Knows Best. So at the end of that program, each time, you know, Father, this, that, at the end of that, everybody said Father Knows Best. That was the world. There was no divorce rate. There was no rape because there was no divorce, right? Killer maybe, divorce never, right? But there was no divorce. That's how it was. It was a different world. And until that world, the youth was very, very controlled. Could feed the society. You know, the FCC had its, in 1954, five, whatever. Elvis Presley was definitely sent to the world to change society and to bring this new concept, this new Yetzer into the world. There's no Shiloh. When you see the transition and the change that took place literally overnight, you understand it's borrowed like this. Elvis was somebody who was, not exactly the higher echelon of society. He couldn't get a minion for his concert, Rabbi, right? In the first year when he was singing, he didn't have a particularly beautiful voice. That's what the articles wrote about him, right? He didn't have a particular charisma in the world of the charisma of their time. Eventually, he changed the musagim of personality, and he changed the concept of charisma, and then he was a tremendously charismatic person. But in the beginning, he couldn't get a minion. It was a rebbe, which was standing outside trying to get a mirith. It wasn't working. Right? Overnight, not understandable, not something that was within the realm of understanding. Overnight, he became an icon. He became a teenage idol. And for example, he did things that were not done before. He would sing on stage and he would move around his body. I have no suspicion that the Jewish singers of our time certainly are moving their bodies much more than his. There's no Shiloh. Just watch. Again, don't take this on a personal level. Just watch for take a little bit of a understanding of what reality was, of the Emes. This person was banned in many states in America. He wasn't allowed to sing because the world wasn't ready for this. In Europe, he was banned. There was a concert in Jacksonville, Florida. I think it was like in 1959, 1958. The Supreme Court Justice of wherever over there got up and said he's not allowed to sing in our Geigen, our Shtetl, our Darfel, whatever it was over there, in this type of Tzura. So they made a rule that he has to sing like a regular person, right? And if he moves his body in an inappropriate way, he'll be arrested. There were seven Florida sheriffs surrounding the stage. Okay? There were seven Florida sheriffs surrounding the stage. Now we think, what would happen nowadays if you tell that to a singer? He would start moving his body and whatever, and go to jail, and that would be right. Yeah, I'm not going to jail. Right? I'm not going to jail. In jail, I hear that, that there's men that are married men. I'm not going to jail. He stood there like this, like a socket wrench on stage. Right? And he sang what he had to sing. But do you understand that was the world that was then? But he changed the face of the world because he gave now culture a new tzura. Music changed the world. He changed the whole entire world with his music. And then the door opened. Next came the Beatles. You guys don't know from this cover, right? You don't know from this cover. The Beatles, Elton and McCarthy and all these stuff over there, right? Don't worry, when you guys learn Shas and Paiskin, you find this stuff in there also, don't worry, right? I want to tell you about that, but you realize it all came from Elvis, right? They were clean-cut boys. If you ever saw pictures of them from the high and from Cheder and whatever, they didn't look like they looked later on in life, right? When Elton John married his second husband, I'm saying he looked very different than he looked when originally when he was a Cheder Yingle. It was all different matzah. they also changed the world. They changed the world. But Avada, it wasn't that they changed it. It was already set into motion. They wrote a song. The song, Hashem should Michael me, the name of the song was, I want to hold your hand. Hashem should Michael all of us. Right? I want to hold your hand. That song changed the whole face of the earth. That song changed the face of the earth. Until that point, no one ever sung Nivel Pet in public. Nobody ever sung it. In that type of a tzura. Avada, you find in Chazal, there was a concept of Shirei Nachrim and singing about relationships, but to such an extent. And what extent are we talking? We're talking about holding hand. Right? Which by us is Gila Reis, and it's Taka, yeah, a person has to be Hag Val Yavr for such a thing. But I want to hold your hand with a song that changed the whole society. It opened up a door to this. And the world was an outcry. But that was nothing. That was nothing. Finally, and I say finally because after that, it's really all just the 8 o'clock of all that tumma, right? But then came the Rolling Stones. For those that don't know, there was a fellow named Jagger or something like that, right? And he had some dreadful frizz problem with his hair. And does everyone know, you know what I'm talking about? You don't know from these things, right? They were the last of the of this chazakah of changing society with culture, changing society and culture with music. This person was a menuvel. It's Yadua, there's no anybody who knows from these things. He was a menuvel she'en kamayo. He was somebody that when there would be an interview with him, he would smoke right into the face of the interviewer. He was a menuvel. He was a person that had a low life, as we call them, right? He was a person that had a bad personality. He wasn't a nice person. And he was the person that whatever they tried to whatever extent, hold back the culture, hold back the music, right? He exploded it. And from then on, that's what you have till today, right? So you think, what does this have to do? Did it really change society? Did it really change humanity? So I want to tell you a very interesting thing. You all know that where did I go in my English vacation this year? I went to the Tower of London. You remember, I got a bottle of Beefeater. Where's my supporter of the Beefeater? He's not here right now. But it's already drunk anyway, so don't worry. And I was very intrigued. Over there, it's like a museum type of a situation there, part of the Matzev is mosaic, a museum. And there's a person there who, you know, he clearly would like you to ask him to explain things and whatnot. You know, I love this, right? So I asked him, he was talking, they had a whole, like, display over there, what's it called? Like a display about becoming knighted and what it takes to become knighted, to be a knight. And it was very intriguing. It was kind of like, you see in the hierarchy, he's Mishalim, give you Musagim, Avrochni, Estik, and Musagim. So I liked it. And he's talking about, like, basically, if you become knighted, you are it in the English society. You know, somebody who was knighted is a person, he is the... And he said a line, which I appreciated so much. It means that you gave something to humanity, and therefore we have to recognize it. And he was going through the various people that were knighted, and he told me that, you know, Lord Jacobowitz, he was a Yid, he was from Yid, an Erlich Yid, the Tzaddik, that was Taka knighted, and, you know, now Taka, we could all understand that he gave something to humanity. You understand what he gave to humanity? And he was going through the different people that were knighted. And what intrigued me was, there was a list there and pictures there. And I saw, in the corner of my eye, a picture of two people, which I found to be very interesting. What did they give to humanity? So one of them was one of the Beatles. And he was knighted. The Queen took her, I don't know, Stecken, and she put it on him and she knighted him. Okay. And Mick Jagger was knighted. I don't know if that's a fact that you knew that. Really? I didn't know that was a fact. I thought I was like the only person in the world that ever knew this. Right? Mick Jagger was knighted. Let me explain to you what that means, everybody said. Let me explain to you what that means. That means that Mick Jagger took out a pipe or a cigar as he was being knighted. He was at a shtecken on his shoulder. He took it and he blew the smoke into the Queen's face. This is a person that 5 years earlier would have been arrested for walking near the palace. His metzias was a metzias that would have been arrested for walking near the palace. But he gave something to humanity. Moiridik. He gave something to humanity. What did he give to humanity? He changed the face of all of humanity and made humanity inhuman. He changed the face of all of humanity. He said that now you could be a human being, right? You could be a person, and you could be a behemoth in public, right? And it all came on the day music. Because music is the expression of our neshama. I want to tell you something. The other day, I was walking. I parked my car over here, across the street, that area over there, right? And there was a person who clearly looked like a Talmud Chacham. Right? I think there was a Pizabachan that was walking by when we saw the Pizabachan there when this mice happened. It was my younger life, we're walking. I was parking over there to give the shiur by the Kaidel. And there was two, my younger light, I think it was one of the Bachim here also. And there was a person that clearly looked like a Talmud Chacham. He looked, you know, he definitely had a tzur of a Talmud Chacham. And he parked his car. And he parked his car in a way that it was difficult for them to get through or whatever it was over there. And one of the people over there was telling him to move his car. And this person, this Talmud Chacham, Hashem Shiv Meichelmi, he started to act like such a behemoth. In my whole life, I never saw anything like it. Right? He started to scream back. I was embarrassed to be somebody that they would mitziaches me and him together. We were both wearing ties. I started to take off my tie. Right? And then I realized, well, I'm going to have to take off my shirt and pants too. So we're going to keep it over there. Right? But I was so embarrassed that the person like that would have a tzur of a shame of a Talmud Chacham. And everybody that was there felt it also. This is a Talmud Chacham, this is how a Talmud Chacham acts, Derech Eretz Kadem Melatar, all of the statements that bother us. All of the statements that if we would see this, we'd think this is what a Talmud Chacham is. Right? We can't stifle it. Because the greatest personalities by us, the people that are great, and the people that are Royev Kavod by us, and that we value, are people that are not just bags of Torah. They're not just people that have in their body Torah. They are people like Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know, somebody was just telling one of my Talmidim, his Bobby was just nifter, that they were saying at Shiva that Rav Moshe was once at a meeting in their house. It was some type of, obviously, major type of Klal Yisrael event, or I don't know what. After the meeting, he had left the house. Rav Moshe was in Al Tayyid at the time, and the Bobby lived three flights up the stairs or whatever. And Rav Moshe, about 6 minutes later, came back and knocked on the door. He had forgotten to say thank you to the Rebbetzin. We would have called. The Rav Moshe, because our tzaddikim doesn't go with us. A Talmud Chacham is somebody that has to be the greatest personality in the world. He has to be the greatest persona in the world. It doesn't work with us, somebody that's a bag of Torah and doesn't have good midas and this and that. Right? He changed the face of all of humanity. He changed the face of all of humanity. These people changed. Music changed the culture. Music made it that you can have people that you look up to that, again, and like I said before, like our ball mashal. Take the mashal and don't take how you're going to have to apply it to your own life. That's your problem. That's your mashkichim and Rosh Hashiva's problem. That's not my problem. Right? But you all have to realize that music, it changed the culture. It changed the whole society. And that has to scare you. Because if this is what goes into your neshama, it has an effect. You know, Aaron Leib, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, somebody last week was saying over an incredible story of Aaron Leib. He said over that Aaron Leib was asked, there's a certain boy, I was hearing the story firsthand, so there was a certain boy in Ramat who was extremely talented, musically talented, extremely talented, and they wanted to send him to a certain Russian music teacher. He's an extremely talented boy, and this person is the best in his class, this Russian music teacher, and they wanted to send him to this music teacher, and you know, it would be boy from Pikuach, it would be in their house, and they wouldn't have to worry if, you know, any things that the guy could be saying or anything like that. But they went to ask Rav Aaron Leib if they should send to the, you know, what is it, Sachakil? You're not teaching him how to play piano. What are you teaching him, Sachakil? So they went to Rav Aaron Leib. And Rav Aaron Leib, who you think he's like, it's in a little box over there in Dalai Lama's in Bnei Brak and doesn't understand from the world. Rav Aaron Leib said, you should know if it was anything else, you'd be masking. If we were teaching him how to do a trade, to this, if it would be sports, if it would be something else, some other type of a talent, he said he'd be masking. He said, but music is the key to the neshama. Music, it's the key. It's the opening the door of neshama. You don't know what happens. Rav Aaron Leib, I'm not talking now. He said, I don't know what happens when this Russian manuvel, the person's a known manuvel. I don't know what happens when this manuvel has the key to your son's neshama. I can't take a chayis for that. You have to realize that if music has that ability to change society and change the way we think and change the value system, a system that beforehand would never have knighted Mick Jagger, would have put him in jail where he belongs, right? And came to a point of where he became an icon in society, became a tachlis of society. So then you have to realize that your value system also gets changed by music. You know, you ever drive, everybody's like, if I was wearing a hideous tie, I was wearing a hideous tie. Okay, so if it was like, you know, something that looked it up in the face and whatever, like, you know, someone had some words on it or whatever, some colorful tie. But it was just a bad, it wasn't a nice tie, you know? It's like, no, I don't know if this is a good example. I told my wife, give me my ugliest tie today. I have to say something in this year. So she gave me this one. Does it bother you so much? Are you upset? Does it make you like, You know, like, you can't look at me, right? If I would be singing off key, let's say I would get up and sing, and I would sing off key. Yeah? So then it would bother you. It bothers you. When you sing off key, and somebody's singing off key, it bothers you. It bothers you, right? Let's say you're happy, and somebody, or you yourself, you're playing through your, you know, you go through your playlist, and you put on by accident sad music. It bothers you. You can't listen to sad music when you're happy, right? Let's say you are sad. Right? And someone puts on happy music. So if you're putting on the happy music in order to take you out of being sad, so then it works, right? But let's say you're sad and you're wallowing in yourself like some of us do. So then when you listen to happy music, it bothers you because that is your neshama speaking. You can't say music doesn't affect you. Of course music doesn't affect you. You're not a liar, right? Of course it affects you. So some people say, but I only listen to this. I don't listen to the words. Okay, so, but you have to know what's real and what's that. I would just say, my time is up. They only give me like a half an hour to speak here, I think. My time's up. Right? I just say, I make a suggestion. It's a difficult suggestion, right? And I never, I think in all the history that we are, I don't give like homework. Is that my thing? I would suggest you're at the fifth night of Hanukkah, right? I mean, tonight's the sixth, right? Shabbos, you can't listen to music anyways, right? I would suggest Friday, whoever this is, Nageya. I don't know if this is going to get anybody, right? But Friday, Motzei Shabbos, right? Sunday, Monday, it's not as much as you think. Because Shabbos doesn't count, right? Friday, Sunday, Shabbos, Monday, whatever, all that, until Zeis Chanukah, right? Until Shkia 443, okay? We'll be a little bit machmer, right? No Goyish music. Have Shemin Zayis Zach. Be Toyer, be Halig for 3 days. You'll see a change in your neshama. I have no suffix. There's no suffix. You'll see a change in your neshama. When you run out at 4:42 in the middle of second Seder to get a fix of the Geisha music because you haven't had it in 4 days, you'll see you're still a little bit different. You'll see there's something different about your neshama. That's Shemin Zayisach. You're in yeshiva now. You have to give yourself the liberal attitude, out-of-the-box attitude a little bit of allowing yourself to grow. You have to do yourself these things. You have to do these little, you know, tests on your neshama, expose your neshama to beauty, expose your neshama to kedusha, and you should all have a lechtige Chanukah, a getin Shabbos, and a kol tov.